I looked at it, and if I don't like the first sentence, I just throw it away.
What was the first sentence?
An unacceptable sentence. Because they have fully agreed, no nuclear, and if they have any nuclear of any form, I don't read the rest of the
letter. So 20 years is not enough for you? It's got to be a permanent...
No, 20 years is enough, but the level of guarantee from them is not enough. In other words, it's got to be a real 20 years, not a...
It means you've got to get all the fuel out and no more production.
We have to get everything, but we're not even talking about... I call it the nuclear dust. Came up with a term which seems to have gone on.
They're talking about because they would not remove the...
Yeah, they said that they can't remove it because they don't have the technology to remove it.
Well,
they don't have
the
type of tractors.
Yeah.
They say the only one... They told me directly, they said the only one that can remove it is China or the U.S. We're the only ones with the equipment. They said, you were right, it is a complete obliteration. With that being said, I want to get it. And they agreed to it, but then they took it back, but they'll agree to it eventually.
This is my video update on this Friday, midday, May the 15th, coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news. And before we get started with today's news topics, remember to like this video, to subscribe to this channel if you're not already subscribed. And if you are watching this video on YouTube via your mobile device, then please hype up this video. Let's talk about Saudi Arabia's plan to end the war against Iran. According to the Financial Times, Saudi Arabia is proposing a non-aggression pact, and the EU, the European cool kids, are behind this Saudi Arabia plan. They like it. They like it a lot. And basically what Saudi Arabia is proposing is that all the countries in the region, Saudi Arabia, Iran, the Gulf nations, Israel, they all agree to a non-aggression pact, which would mean that you have a ceasefire with some legal framework. So if I attack you, or if you attack me, then there's some sort of a legal international law framework which punishes the attacker, and so on and so forth. That's basically what they're talking about. Maybe a little bit more than that, because Saudi Arabia is modeling this non-aggression pact after the Helsinki Accords of 1975, which tried to create the conditions for stability in Europe between the United States, the Soviet Union, and the European countries. So a ceasefire with a little bit more than just a simple legal framework if a country is attacked. But definitely not a security architecture, which is what is needed in the region. Trita Parsi, he posted on X that with regards to this Financial Times report, that it's a good start, what Saudi Arabia is proposing, this non-aggression pact modeled after the Helsinki Accords, but it's not what's needed to create the conditions for long-term stability and peace in the region. What is needed is a security architecture, an inclusive security architecture that will create the conditions for long-term peace in the region. But that's going to be something that would be very hard to achieve, to get buy-in from all of the countries in the region. It's interesting because a security architecture is exactly what Russia proposed to Bidenopolis in 2020, 2021. A year before the special military operation, Putin and Lavrov, they were in contact with the Biden White House, with Blinkety Blinken, and they were proposing a new security architecture for Europe in order to avoid a conflict between Russia and the United States, Russia and Ukraine, Europe, NATO. And they even sent proposals and documents to the Biden White House with details of this new security architecture, with ideas and proposals of what this new security architecture could be. And Lavrov even pitched this to Blinkety Blinken, and the Biden White House would never respond. Blinken told Lavrov to buzz off. Not interested in a new security architecture. We've already got NATO, and NATO is going to expand, like it or not. And then we got the special military operation. So anyway, that is Saudi Arabia's proposal, according to the Financial Times. Since we're speaking about Biden, Bidenopolis, Chris's favorite son, let's talk about Barack Obama and his interview with Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert, the late night TV talk show host. And Obama was talking about the JCPOA. He was taking a dig at Trump. And he was telling Colbert about the negotiation process with Iran and how his administration managed to deal with uranium enrichment, and they avoided a conflict with Iran. They had the Europeans monitoring the JCPOA. Russia was also involved. And basically, Obama was trashing Trump, and he actually floated out the idea that Trump probably scrapped his negotiated JCPOA because it was an initiative negotiated by his White House, and Trump didn't like anything that Obama negotiated or any deal that Obama put together. Obama said, "We pulled it off without firing a single missile, got 97% of their enriched uranium out. No mass deaths. Strait of Hormuz never shut down." I hate it when I have to agree with Obama. Man, I hate it when I have to agree with Obama. Why do I have to agree with Obama? Anyway, he's right. He is right about that. Trump was speaking with Hannity. Let's go around. And what time is it? Okay. And Hannity in China, I believe this interview took place. And Trump was asked about the Iran war. Why are we doing it? Why do we have this war? And Trump said, "We're doing it to help Israel, to help Saudi Arabia, to help Qatar and the UAE. And, you know, Kuwait and other countries, Bahrain. We're at war with Iran to help all of these countries." Didn't mention the United States. I don't think he mentioned the United States. But, you know, Trump is at war with Iran to help Israel and the UAE and Qatar and Kuwait and all of these countries in the region. That's why he's doing it. Trump also said that higher gas prices in the U.S. is the price that Americans must pay for Iran not to get a nuclear weapon. That's the price of a non-nuclear Iran. Higher gas prices. Fertilizer problems. Jet fuel problems. That's the price that people will have to pay in the United States and around the world so that Iran does not get a nuclear weapon. And none of this is about uranium enrichment or a nuclear weapon. As Obama pointed out to Stephen Colbert, noting that he effectively dealt with Iran's uranium enrichment without firing a single shot. This was never about uranium enrichment. That could have been solved very easily. This was all about regime change. Regime change and end the blockade on China. That is what this was about. That is what this is about. Trump also talked about a new name that he has for the Democrats. This was an interesting exchange with Hannity. Trump said that his new name with Democrats is, for Democrats, is Dumocrats. D-U-M-O-C-R-A-T-S. The interesting part about this exchange, the funny part about this exchange, was that Trump actually went into how he came up with the name. He started to talk about how he came up with this nickname. I removed the E, I replaced it with a U, I kept the M, and I ended up with Dumocrats.
Anyway, they're defective. I came up with a new name. I don't know if I should.
I know which one it is.
Dumocrats. Because they're dumb. They're dumb. It's D-U-M. I got rid of the B. So you're only changing one letter, right? E goes and the U comes. It's a Dumocrat.
You know you take up more space in people's heads than any one person on the face of this earth, right? You live rent-free.
I was talking about.
Okay, thank you for explaining to us how you came up with that name. Anyway, Trump posted a huge message on Truth Social after his visit to China, and during his stay in China. He just left maybe an hour or two ago, so this post probably happened when he was still in Beijing. Trump felt that it was necessary to explain Xi Jinping's comment that the U.S. perhaps was a declining nation, when President Xi very elegantly referred to the United States as perhaps being a declining nation. He was referring to the tremendous damage we suffered during the 4 years of sleepy Joe Biden. I don't even remember Xi saying that. So Trump brought people's attention to this comment from Xi Jinping, where he said that the United States is perhaps a nation in decline. I didn't know he said that, but I guess he said that. Anyway, thanks for drawing our attention to that comment, U.S. President Trump. And Trump felt it was important to explain that what Xi was saying was that the United States was in decline under Bidenopolis. But now, under U.S. President Trump, the U.S. is the hottest country in the world. Never seen anything like it. It's a long post on Truth Social. Trump told Hannity that what he got out of China from foreign policy talks related to Iran, that the concessions that he got from China were that China promised not to send military equipment to Iran, and they also would like to see the Strait of Hormuz reopened. China's been saying this for the past 60 days, actually. Right? They're not sending weapons to Iran. That's what they're saying. That's what China is on record saying. They're not sending weapons to Iran, and they would like the Strait of Hormuz open. Actually, China, my understanding is that the other day China negotiated some sort of a deal with Iran, or some sort of a payment with Iran, so that their ships would pass the Strait of Hormuz without any problem. China was not in favor of this $2 million fee to pass through the Strait of Hormuz. So what they agreed on with Iran is that they would make a payment to Iran, and it wouldn't be this $2 million fee, but it would be a payment that would be made in order to maintain the Strait of Hormuz. That was the deal that they worked out with Iran. Does that make any sense? Did I explain that correctly? I got a little bit distracted with the tours that are taking place at the school tours at the War Museum. here in Athens, Greece. But yeah, that's the deal that they worked out with Iran. We don't want to make it out as if we're paying you a fee to cross the Strait of Hormuz. But what we'll agree on is that our ships will pass through the Strait of Hormuz without any problems or any difficulties. And we'll make a payment to the upkeep of the actual strait, the maintenance and the upkeep of the Strait of Hormuz. So China has their ships passing through the Strait of Hormuz. No problems. No problems there. So anyway, that's the concessions that Trump claims he got from China during his visit. The Washington Post put out an article. I think this is the Washington Post, with the title, China Gains Major Edge on U.S. Amid Iran War. Intelligence reports find a confidential assessment circulating as President Donald Trump begins his highly anticipated trip to Beijing shows shifts in several key areas of competition. No surprise there. I don't know what the Washington Post is revealing here, but of course China is taking advantage of the fact that the United States is bogged down in this conflict with Iran. Absolutely, they are taking advantage of it. What would you expect them to do? They're seeing how the war is unfolding. They're looking at the weapons that the United States is using. They're looking at the weapons that are now depleted. They're going to absolutely take advantage of everything that is happening in this war. They're using diplomacy in the region. They're talking with Gulf nations, U.S. allies. No shocker there, Washington Post. So, do we move on now? Not yet. Right before Trump left, he had a 10-minute one-on-one with Xi Jinping. No other people in the delegation. Just the two of them. Just the two of us. And they walked into this very beautiful rose garden area. Trump was very impressed with the roses. He said that they were the most beautiful roses, and Xi Jinping promised to send him the rose seeds, but anyway, the conversation was private between the two leaders. What we do have on camera, on video, was Trump asking Xi Jinping if other prime ministers and presidents have been to this area. And it looks like Xi Jinping was telling Trump, no, just you. You're the only one that has entered this secret garden. A secret garden. Yeah. So that made Trump feel special. Only you, Mr. President, have come to this secret garden. I would never dare bring any other president or prime minister here. At least until Putin comes next week. Then I'll bring Putin here as well. Anyway, all right, let's, enough of that. Let's talk about Latvia. The Alensky curse strikes down the government in Latvia. Prime Minister Evika Silina, you've been Alensky cursed. That's right. Her government collapsed yesterday. allegedly the government collapse was due to the dispute over breaches by Ukrainian drones. Prime Minister Selina resigned after suspected Ukrainian drones headed for Russia crossed into her country, sparking concerns about its defenses. Yeah, the defense minister resigned the other day because he wasn't doing his job. He was not able to keep Latvia safe and secure from the drones. So he resigned, but it wasn't enough. We now have the entire government collapsing because of two drones that landed on an empty oil storage facility about 50 kilometers from the border with Russia. Is that a reason for a government to collapse? Come on now. The real reason that the government collapsed, in my opinion, the reason that the government collapsed is because that there was someone somewhere, I'm not sure where, maybe in Latvia, maybe in the United States, I don't know. Someone somewhere told the Latvian prime minister, knock it off with these Ukrainian drones crossing over your airspace to hit St. Petersburg. Right, because the prime minister of Latvia was playing what she thought to be a very clever game, pretending to look the other way as Ukrainian drones were using her airspace to then cross over and to hit Russia. Right, and I think someone told her, you know what, if you keep on allowing Ukrainian drones to cross over Latvian airspace and hit Russia, Russia might react. And you're not going to like it if they react. And so they probably told her it's time to step down. Enough of this nonsense. You need to go. You are putting the country in danger with your little drone games that you have going on with Le Goblin there. So even the Russian embassy in Kenya, they're calling it the Zelensky curse. They're saying the Zelensky curse in action. One more victim. Come on, Russian embassy in Kenya. It's the Zelensky curse. Zelensky, not Zelensky. Come on, get it right. Anyway, Zelensky, he is telling his military, he has already given an order to his military to prepare for a response against Russia after the massive strikes yesterday. Anywhere between 800 to 1,500 drones hit all of Ukraine, including the west of Ukraine. They also hit Kiev. And then we had 60 plus missiles also hitting Ukraine, all over Ukraine as well, mostly in the east of Ukraine, the missile strikes. But a very big strike from the Russian military, and Zelensky is now ordering his military to retaliate. Whatever that means, we will see what that means. But yesterday we did have 355 Ukrainian fixed-winged unmanned aerial vehicles hit Russia, according to the Russian Ministry of Defense. And they hit many regions in the south. They also tried to hit Moscow as well. Some of the drones landed on apartment buildings. I believe there are civilian casualties. I don't know if this is Zelensky's response to the Russian strikes, but 355 is a large number of Ukrainian drones into Russia. But this is a number that Ukraine has been launching into Russia every couple of days. 300 to 400 fixed-wing drones have been going into Russia every day or two. So that's what's going on with Le Goblin Vert. Rubio on Air Force One, this is as he was traveling to China. He was on Air Force One and he gave an interview, I believe to Fox News maybe. But anyway, he was talking up how Ukraine is the best army in Europe. One of the best armies in the world. And then Rubio, He started to talk about how Russian losses are five times more than Ukrainian losses. Rubio showing his neocon side.
Well, there's no doubt that the necessity of fighting this war has caused the Ukrainians to develop new tactics, new techniques, new equipment, new technology that is creating a sort of hybrid asymmetrical warfare. That's impressive, no doubt about it. I mean, if you look at the Russians are losing five times as many soldiers a month as the Ukrainians are. And the Ukraine is a smaller country and a smaller army for that matter. Although the Ukrainian armed forces are the strongest, most powerful armed forces in all of Europe, just to be clear, right now. Obviously because a lot of the assistance they've gotten, but also because of the battlefield experience that they've gained.
Five times more losses, according to Rubio. And the Ukraine army is the best military. And the United States is the neutral mediator in all of this. Who are you freaking kidding? Marco Rubio throwing out these ridiculous numbers so that the United States can continue to support Ukraine, can continue to send weapons to Ukraine and sell weapons to Ukraine. Sorry, not send, sell weapons to Ukraine. And the Trump administration can continue to escalate this proxy war while at the same time pretending to be this neutral mediator that wants to end the conflict. Anyway, the EU is ready to send $9 billion to Le Gobelin Vert in the middle of June. This is $9 billion from the total $90 billion. Much of this money is going to go to manufacturing drones, according to Politico, about $6 billion will go to drone manufacturing. And then $3 billion will go to Le Gobelin Vert's administration to keep the government up and running, to pay for salaries, and 10% for the big guy. So that's going to happen in mid-June. The first tranche of the $90 billion funds sent to Ukraine flushed down the golden toilet. And since we're talking about the golden toilet, how are we doing on time? We're doing really good on time. Let's talk about Yermak in today's clown world. Andrei Yermak. It was revealed during his court hearing that Yermak was making decisions based on consultations with a fortune teller, Veronica Feng Shui. I don't know if that's her name. Veronica is her name, but I don't know if she goes by Veronica Feng Shui. But anyway, Veronica is, or was, the fortune teller, spiritual consultant to Andrei Yermak. And according to the hearings from yesterday, Yermak would consult with Veronica about appointing people to the Zelensky government. He would make decisions. He wouldn't make decisions until he consulted with Veronica, the fortune teller. What a crazy, freaky situation in Kiev over the past 4 years. And these jokers got what, $400 billion, $500 billion from the United States and Europe? Wow. Unbelievable. How much was Veronica charging for her services? That's a good question to ask. Is there any audit? Any audit to all of these? All of these services and these payments? I think not. I don't think anyone knows how much money Veronica made from her fortune-telling services to Andrei Yermak. Yermak hanging out with Keith Kellogg. Remember all those meetings with Keith Kellogg? Yermak traveling to D.C. and hugging Keith Kellogg, and Keith Kellogg hugging Andrei Yermak. Yeah, we got the photos. We have got the photos of Yermak and Kellogg. Yermak with all kinds of political leaders in the collective West. Yermak chilling out with the younger Soros, with Alex. So that's clown world number one. Clown World number two. We go back to China, and the other day, Fox News, Brett Baer, they parked illegally in China, and they got a ticket. That's right. Illegally parking, they get a ticket. And then Brett Baer does a segment for Fox News where he talks about the surveillance in China, and he talks about the ticket that he got and how there are cameras everywhere. And we parked illegally, and right away we get a ticket because that's the evil China surveillance. Well, you know, if you park illegally, you're going to get a ticket. The fact that it's done so quickly in China, okay, maybe that's a good thing, maybe that's a bad thing, but look, bro, you parked illegally, Brett Baer, so you're going to get ticketed. Don't park illegally, of course. They probably, I don't want to say of course, maybe they parked illegally so that they could get the ticket, and then they could have this segment highlighting China's surveillance system. Maybe that was the whole purpose to this thing from Fox News. So we have some news on Ben Wallace, not really a Clown World, but we got some news that Ben Wallace, remember him, the former defense minister for, who was it? Was it for Bojo or was it for Sunak or was it for Liz Truss? Who was it for? Pick a prime minister. Anyway, we got Ben Wallace, very much a Russia hater, in my opinion. Does not like Russia at all. A supporter of Le Goblin Vert, definitely wants escalation. He has been put on a wanted list by Russia. And I believe this goes back to the many comments that Ben Wallace made about destroying the Kerch Bridge, the Crimea Bridge. He was talking about destroying the Kerch Bridge every freaking day. He would not let it go. We got to take out the Kerch Bridge. We got to destroy the Kerch Bridge. That was Ben Wallace every single freaking day. Constantly talking about striking Russia with Storm Shadow missiles, going after the Kerch Bridge, escalating with Russia. And now that has landed him on a wanted list. Russia has added Ben Wallace, the former British defense minister, to a wanted list in connection with an unspecified criminal investigation, according to state media reports on Wednesday, which cited the Russian Interior Ministry's database. So it looks like Ben Wallace is not going to be traveling to Russia anytime soon. Anyway, that's the video. But Rubio was in China, right? I thought Rubio was banned from entering China. Or maybe I'm wrong about that. But I was under the impression that China banned Rubio from entering the country. Anyway, we'll see how things go for Mr. Ben Wallace. Or is he a sir? Is Ben Wallace a sir? I don't think so. Maybe he is a sir. Maybe it's Sir Ben Wallace. Sir Keir Starmer. That I do know. Anyway, that is the video. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X and Rumble and Telegram. We are also on Substack. Definitely check us out on Substack. We have a lot of articles coming out on Substack. Those articles are also posted on Locals as well. So those links are in the description box down below. Go to the Duran Shop. We have a t-shirt deal, 30% off t-shirts on the Duran Shop. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.